Today we'll be in the book of Colossians, is where we find our sermon text this morning. We hear that Jesus is supreme from our text this morning. Paul writes Colossians to a young church, a rather new church, a church Paul likely has never visited at this point. It's a church that was started by another man named Epaphras. We're told of that in the book of Colossians. And Paul is writing to this young church but to give them some clarity and to give them some focus. Within this church, there are people who have come out of a pagan background, a Gentile background, of worshiping idols and worshiping at idol temples and all that that entails. And as they come out of that, Paul wants to say to them that Jesus is supreme over all idols, over all false gods, over all other deities that you could possibly imagine, and that you maybe previously worshipped. And to those in the church in Colossians who come from a Jewish background, think an Old Testament kind of background, a background full of laws and regimen and religiosity and the keeping of certain customs, many of them cultural customs and practices, Paul wants to say that Jesus is supreme over all that the Old Testament has, that over all the laws, over all those customs, that Jesus completely fulfills them and He is supreme over all of them. So this morning we begin what is to be a new sermon series through this Christmas season, looking at the glory of Jesus Christ. I could think of nothing better than for us to focus on Jesus during the Christmas season. And so we come to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 15. Will you stand together as we read our sermon text this morning? Beginning in verse 15, the Son, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You that Christ is supreme. Help us to hear Your word. Give clarity to my speech today. Help our hearts to be open and receptive. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today I want us to see that Jesus Christ is supreme over creation and over redemption. Therefore, every inch of the universe owes its existence and allegiance to Jesus Christ. Or as it's said here in Colossians verse 16, all things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. So we see, first of all, that Jesus is supreme over creation. First of all, because He is the Creator. He was involved in creation. This clarifies something that we might be tripped up over here, especially in this Christmas season. You see, Jesus' birthday wasn't necessarily just December 25th, 0 A.D. Jesus existed before He was born. That's not something that's true of any one of us. But for Jesus, His existence is eternal. He existed with God there at the beginning. So when we hear those words in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, we need to hear also John 1:1 that says, in the beginning was the Word, was Jesus, and the Word was with God. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So in those creation moments that we think about God spinning out the galaxies and the stars and creating the trees and the earth and the animals and people, we need to see in that that Jesus was there too. It is through Him all things were made. Kind of similar how we might say if we were going to build a home, we might hire a contractor to help us carry that out. We might say, I built a home through this contractor. So too in Jesus. It is through Jesus Christ that all things were made. It's as though when God speaks, it's Jesus' voice that we hear. Jesus was there at the beginning. And so Jesus is supreme over creation. More than that, Jesus is supreme over creation because He is the ruler over creation. Because He made it, He owns it. My father-in-law is currently building in his garage a wooden airplane that he's going to supposedly one day get in and fly. He's a brave man. He's a pilot, so it's kind of his thing. It's a very nice wooden airplane that he's building. I've seen it. It's in pieces and everything. But I'm not signing up to fly with him. Not least of all because there's only one seat, but because I'm not flying on a wooden airplane. But he's making this airplane, and when he gets done and he constructs it and he takes it out to the airport, there's not going to be any question over whose it is. Because he made it with his own hands. He took tools and he formed and he fashioned it. It's his property. So too, all of the universe belongs to Jesus Christ because He made it. He formed it. He fashioned it. He spun it into existence and created it. So it all belongs to Him. Our passage makes this very clear. It says that in Him all things were created, verse 16, things in heaven and on earth, things that you can see, things that you can't see. And then here He lists thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Here He's making reference to the things that in this world seem to be powerful, seem to be great, seem to be important. This is true of whether it's for the Gentiles, the pagan powers, the false gods and deities that they suppose once ruled over their crops and over their fertility and over their occupations. Those deities are ruled over by God. And in front of in the face of God, they are nothing. This is true of spiritual powers. For a Jewish audience, the angels and the demons, the demonic powers that may try to influence people for ill, and the angelic powers that seem so great and beyond us, Jesus rules over them. This is true of earthly powers, kings and armies and warfare and swords and battles, of governing authorities in the local level and of the emperor himself. Jesus reigns supreme. Jesus is supreme over our personal powers, the vices and habits that would control ourselves, that would control us, the hang-ups that we keep falling into. Jesus reigns supreme. Jesus is supreme even over ourselves, our own fiefdoms that we love to set up. We love to be kings of our own castles. But Jesus is supreme of even your castle. Jesus reigns supreme because all things belong to Him. He rules over all things. In one commentary I read, it said, "No creature is autonomous. All are God's servants and dependents." Because Jesus rules over all things, we owe Him our obedience and our allegiance. But as we look around, we see and recognize that this world, though it was created by God and for God, by Christ and for Christ, it does not obey Christ. It does not give its allegiance to Christ. Because you see, God's creation, led by His people, His chief of creations, rebelled against Him. They rejected His rule and His reign, His sovereignty over all creation. Now this does not usurp His authority. Jesus Christ still reigns. But for now, in this world, we are fractured and broken and we are stand in rebellion to Him. We stand against Him. Sin has entered the world and it is broken. That's why we need the second half of this passage. See, the first half of this passage points to Jesus' creating power and His rule and sovereignty over all creation. But because creation has rebelled against Him and usurped His authority, we need the second half of this passage, which says that Jesus Christ is Lord and supreme over redemption as well. You see, Jesus Christ could have written this all off. He could have said, as many kings would have done, "These people have rebelled against me, they will be crushed." The ancient world is littered with kings who brutally crush those who rebelled against them. When a city or a district would stop paying their taxes to the king, it was not uncommon for them to muscle their full armies to march through and lay desolate those places. They would salt the ground. They would raise the buildings. They would put bodies on pikes and heads on pikes to make a point to anyone who to say, "If you usurp my authority, this is how it will be with you." And so our Lord could have done, and so we would have deserved. But Jesus Christ is merciful. He's compassionate. He's kind. He's loving and forgiving. Jesus Christ sought after His creation. He is supreme over our redemption and our reconciliation with God. Jesus, we see, came into His creation. He became God with us. Verse 19 says that, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Jesus Christ." At Christmas season, we use that word Emmanuel that we don't use a lot of other times. That word simply means God with us. In Jesus Christ, the fullness of God came into His created order. God no longer sat outside and above and distant as the pagan gods did, up on their holy hills, separate from those lowlifes down below. But Jesus Christ came into His creation. He became one of us. He took on flesh and blood so that we could be reconciled to Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says, "The Word," again, that's Jesus, "became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." But more than that, Jesus reigns supreme over our reconciliation to God because He came and He died. He went to the cross that we see there in our last verse. He made peace between us and God through His blood shed on the cross. We just celebrated Thanksgiving, and at Thanksgiving time, you may be confronted with the reality that within your family, there might need to be some reconciliation that needs to happen. Indeed, some of you have awkward times at your Thanksgiving because reconciliation hasn't happened. People have had hurt feelings and been wronged, and there's tension there, and someone said something last year and all this kind of thing. And there needs to be reconciliation that needs to be taken place. So too between us and God. We must be reconciled. And Jesus Christ made the way through the cross. His death on the cross took what we deserve, the condemnation for our rebellion and rejection of God. He took it on Himself, and He gives to us a right relationship, a right standing to God. He does that through His blood shed on the cross. So Jesus reigns supreme, not only over creation, but over the reconciliation that He offers to His people. Jesus makes a way for those who would turn to Jesus Christ to have a right relationship to Him. We're told here that He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. Jesus Christ begins a new people on the earth. People today who live in right standing with God and who seek to live as though the new creation that God is one day going to bring has already come to pass in the here and now. In other words, we live as a unique and different people of the body of Christ in the world today. He says that He is the beginning. He is the beginning, not just in the sense of in the beginning, but He's the beginning of what God is bringing about in His new creation. And He is the firstborn among the dead. He is the one who has been resurrected and given new life, something that we yet await for and look for. This new people lives under Christ's rules and trusts in Him and follows Him and honors Him. And we as a church, and yes, I mean, we as Tremont Baptist Church, and yes, as the church globally, owe our existence and our allegiance to Jesus Christ. Tremont Baptist Church, we're here for a reason. Jesus placed us here and brings us together for a purpose and a reason in Tremont and Tazewell County and in Illinois and beyond. We exist for a purpose to live under His reign and His rule and to call people to the reign of Jesus Christ and to submit to Him. We can be reconciled to God only through Him. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Jesus Christ. And John 1:10-12 says, "Jesus was in the world, and through the world, though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Paul writes this dense passage to this new, young, fledgling church in Colossae. And as he writes, he wants them to see that Christ is supreme over all else. So that in their life and their heart, they'll be willing to lay down everything for the sake of Jesus Christ. That they'll focus their attention not on the things that would seek to draw them away in Colossae, but they will focus their life and their hearts on Him. Tremont Baptist Church, may we focus our life and our hearts on Jesus Christ in this Christmas season and always. May He reign supreme for us. May all else fall away, and may He be Lord. For those here today who do not know Jesus Christ, who still are in rebellion to Him and have not yet submitted to His rule and reign, I want to invite you today to submit to King Jesus. King Jesus rules and reigns, even though it doesn't look like it in this world now. But He does. And if you don't turn to Him, when He comes again, you face His rejection. You face His wrath. Oh, my friend, turn to Jesus Christ today. Submit to Him, and in Him find the love, blessedness, and hope that He offers. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You that Jesus Christ is supreme in a world filled with so much chaos and turmoil. In a world that is so embattled, a world that is so distant and far removed. May we in this Christmas season see that Christ rules and reigns and makes a way possible that we may have a relationship restored to You, that we may even now cry out to You. Heavenly Father, I pray for the one here who has remained distant from You, who has remained in their own way of life. I pray now that they would hear that Christ is supreme, that He offers them hope and a future and a purpose and all that is good. They would turn to Him, trusting Him and following Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.